Blog Talk Radio. This is Golden Sephora Radio on the Authentic You Radio Network. My name is Heather McCray, and I'm your host today. I am a master's level special educator working in private practice as a coach to super people. I work with families, adults, and children in the autism spectrum. If you would like more information about me and what I do, feel free to go to my website, which is goldensephora.com. It's spelled G-O-L-D-E-N. S-E-P-H-O-R-A, goldensephora.com. So let's get right into today's affirmation. Trust your process and abilities. One of the ways to build a track record of success in your life is to start with you. Build a track record with you. You do this by trusting and having faith in you. If you want other people to trust you, then practice trusting yourself and your process. When you gain confidence in things working, then others see this and are much more likely to be drawn to you. Forgiving you and being willing to trust you again. It all starts with you and your choices. Choose to listen to your heart. Keep an open mind and an open heart. Trust you. Today's affirmation, I trust myself and my abilities today. Today's goal, I step back from my thoughts and feelings because neither are facts. I journal, I pay attention to what the facts are, and I trust my ability to make healthy decisions. The tools I have available to me today are an open mind, an open heart, journaling, facts, and self-honesty. Today's reading from the Path of the Soul Destiny cards, these, again, are created by Cheryl Lee Harnish, and they are an app on Facebook. The card for today is Footprints. You have beautiful intentions of doing well in this world and having a lasting and positive effect on the planet. This was a part of the divine plan you created for yourself before you came here. Those inner aspirations you feel and the daydreams associated with them are the whisperings of your soul calling you to your purpose. This is all part of your journey. The time has come to take the steps necessary to set this dream in motion. Isn't that awesome? I would like to welcome back my friend and my soul sister, Amy Hart, who is joining us again for the second part of our conversation about neurodiversity. Amy, hello. Are you there?
I am here. Thank you so much for having me back. It's a pleasure and an honor. Thank you.
Happy Saturday, Amy. Let's talk briefly about, let's go over what neurodiversity is, and if it's okay, I'm going to read the eight principles of neurodiversity. Neurodiversity is putting the whole realm of disabilities or cognitive differences in a completely different framework, which is much more compassionate. Thomas Armstrong came up with eight principles of neurodiversity, and they are, number one, the human brain works more like an ecosystem than a machine. Number two, human beings and human brains exist along continuums of competence. Number three, human competence is defined by the values of the culture to which you belong. Number four, whether you are regarded as disabled or gifted depends largely upon when and where you live. Number five, success in life is based upon adapting one's brain to the needs of the surrounding environment. Number six, success in life depends upon modifying your surrounding environment to fit the needs of your unique brain. Number seven, niche construction includes career and lifestyle choices and assistive technologies tailored to the needs of a neurodiverse individual. And number eight, positive niche construction directly modifies the brain, which in turn enhances its ability to adapt to the environment. Amy, talk to me.
I am definitely so excited to revisit this conversation where we left off, and that is I would like to propose and include people and children who have psychic abilities into the realm of the neurally diverse population. And the reason why I feel that they should be included is, again, the way that their brains are wired is different. And again,
yep, I couldn't agree more.
Exactly. And just like anybody else who is in the neurally diverse population, it's just simply a matter of a difference in the way that their brain is wired, the way that they perceive information, communicate, et cetera. And there's nothing wrong with people who are gifted in this way. And that's another thing that I would like to elaborate on, is that people who are neurally diverse are gifted. And one of the things that I would love to see is for them to stop being pathologized. I just think
I could not agree more. Yep. Yep.
We, and I include myself in this group, are very misunderstood. And so, again, there's a lot of fear around that which people do not understand. And one of the things that is really close to my heart is children and who have grown into adults who really need to be liberated and understood because of their psychic abilities. And, again, that's something that is misunderstood. And if I can just, you know, tell you what being psychic is by definition.
Yeah, please. Please, go ahead.
Psychic ability or being psychic is a person who's sensitive to parapsychological forces. Okay, so relating to or denoting faculties or phenomena apparently unexplainable by natural laws. For example, ESP involving telepathy or clairvoyance. And there's many, one thing I would also like to speak to is that, you know, there's many types of psychic abilities, many categories, it's multifaceted. And I would also like to add that we all, each and every one of us, whether we're included or not included in the neurally diverse population, have psychic ability. And it's very much like musical ability in some sense, right? For example,
yep.
I think that pretty much most of us can sing or learn to play an instrument to a certain degree. However, there are those who are incredibly gifted. And then there are some who get better with practice once they study, et cetera, et cetera. So I like to compare psychic ability to that. However, what I've seen a lot of and experienced a lot of is that there are a lot of people who are so misunderstood, and they live in fear because they don't understand these differences, and they don't understand why being marginalized by the mass population because they don't understand what they're going through, and they really want to share their experiences, but they oftentimes keep them locked up inside out of fear of being marginalized, ridiculed, and so they live in pain, in fear, and oftentimes tend to really develop a lot of self-esteem issues and trust issues around that. And one of the things that I would like to do is liberate people in such a way to especially help to empower children because, you know,
you had if I can interrupt for a second, Amy, you told me the most amazing story about a young person who went through that exact journey with their mom. Is this a good time to tell that story?
Absolutely, yes. Actually, this was very liberating for me as well. There was this show, a television show, that you can probably find online somewhere, and it's called Psychic Kids, Children of the Paranormal. And it's a documentary about kids and parents who are coming together for the first time to try to understand each other. And in a lot of these cases, these children, again, were living in constant fear to the point where their parents didn't know what to do to help them, to keep them safe, to encourage their growth, their abilities, and support them both emotionally and physically, basically to support their development. And so There was this one story, and I've heard this a lot, in which there was this little boy who is incredibly sensitive, very gifted, and clairvoyant, meaning he has clear seeing, so he can see spirits. And so out of fear, you know, it took him a long time. He held all of this in and was just terrified. And finally, one day, he got enough courage to share this experience with his mom. And his mom didn't know what to do. She just did the best that she could for him, so she took him to a psychologist. And, right. you know, she had all the best intentions, but unfortunately, he was diagnosed with schizophrenia, and they came and took him out of his home against his mother's will, and obviously against his will, and they institutionalized him, medicated him. It was extremely traumatic for this boy and his mother, and so it just really tugged on my heartstrings to listen to their story. And so afterwards, you know, she felt so bad. That's the last thing in the world that she wanted, was to be separated from her son and to have him go through such a scary and traumatic experience when he was already very terrified. So when he came back, you know, he told his mom, you know, I see this boy again that just keeps hanging around me, and he's standing right over there. And, you know, so she, I thought she was brilliant. She kind of told everybody that she did kind of question his sanity, but she wanted to support him, obviously. So she goes, okay, all right, where is he? He's standing right over there, right by this tree stump. So she goes in the house and she grabs a deck of cards, and she stands behind her son. Her son is standing in front of her. And so she starts holding up these cards, and she goes, get him to tell me, you know, what card I'm holding up or whatever. And so the unseen boy, the spirit, actually was communicating through the little boy, who could clearly see him and the mother couldn't, and was getting the cards right every single time. So in that moment is when she completely trusted him and her son's experience, and she believed him. And then it was that moment that she turned everything around and started to do everything she could as far as research, finding him, help, support, et cetera. And I just thought that was so amazing. And again, I've seen time and time again where people are misunderstood. They live in fear because they know it, they've been conditioned since pretty much birth, and so have their parents, that you just don't talk about these things. People are going to think you're crazy. All right, you might be experiencing, you know, X, Y, and Z, but for heaven's sake, don't share that with anybody, because they're going to think you're crazy, or they're going to take parents' fear, even if they do believe their children, they fear judgment from society, or they fear losing their kids to the system. And so,
yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And in the same vein as that, it's the same for young people that are gay. It's the same for young people that dwell in the autism spectrum that have ADD, ADHD, Asperger's. Yeah. I went through this with my family when I was growing up. I mean, my father and I had a horrible relationship because he did not understand me. I did not understand him. And there was tons of judgment there. And it's the judgment that's got to go, because you can't, you know, you can't assist a child in fulfilling their being and who they are if you don't give yourself room to really understand them.
That's true. And even if you don't understand them, because believe me, speaking from personal experience, these kids don't understand what they're going through either. And they don't have anybody to turn to. Thank goodness nowadays there are more resources for this type of giftedness. But the one message that I would like to make very loud and clear is, parents, please, you know, I'm almost begging you, if your children are coming to you with certain experiences or dreams or seeing monsters in their closet, for example, or having, you know, quote-unquote imaginary friends, please believe them, especially if they're having scary experiences, something that they don't understand. I know that it might be difficult to go beyond, you know, what's been conditioned into your psyche by society, but who can children go to if they can't go to their parents for support and feel safe in their own home to disclose to you what they're going through?
Yeah, especially if they're little. If you have a three-year-old who's coming to you and, you know, talking about an imaginary friend or whatever, I mean, that's just even part of just growing up. You know what I mean? If you can be an open-minded parent and just engage in a dialogue with your little kid, just enjoy it. Just relax with it. Quell their fears. Don't say words like, oh, it doesn't mean anything, it's just pretend, but just go with it. I mean, you're not hurting your child. You're letting them figure out the difference between what's real and what's not real just by being there for them, you know. And the thing about being a child with psychic abilities or anything that makes you, quote, unquote, different from the norm is that you don't have any words to articulate what's going on with you. All you know is that you're different. And that's the scariest part, is that you don't know how to tell somebody that you're different. You could be three and have, you know, some autism spectrum issue, or you could have some neurological difference and have, you know, three-year-olds only know how to communicate like three-year-olds, and they could see, know, hear things, and they have no way of telling you because they don't know anything different than their experience.
That's true.
You know what I mean? If we can get to a place in our world where people can look at somebody who uses a wheelchair to get around and just notices that they use a wheelchair to get around, rather than projecting pity on them and saying, oh, that's so sad that you use a wheelchair to get around. Because the truth is, the person in the wheelchair or the person who has devices for breathing assistance, or the child who's psychic, or the child who's gay, or the child who dwells in the autism spectrum doesn't know any different.
That's right.
If our culture can get to a place where we are just noticing things and going, that's kind of interesting, you know, and take the judgment out of it, my gosh, how healing will that be?
Extraordinarily healing. If we can just take a step back for a moment out of judgment and just listen to what people are telling you about experiences, just take a little bit of time to listen. Even if you don't understand or agree, it's important what they have to say, and sometimes people just need to be heard. And again, I would like to say that, you know, I honestly believe that all of this neurodiversity that we've been seeing coming in is just a part of the human evolutionary process. And again, we don't understand it all. And so we're all learning together. We're all trying to figure this out together. So if we come from a place of compassion and a place where we are more open-minded and just willing to listen instead of judge, the world already will be a better place. Listen to what your friends are telling you, what your kids are telling you, the messages that you may be getting even. Because, again, we all have psychic ability. It's just that a lot of us it's been hammered into us that, oh, what you experienced wasn't real, or that's just your imagination, or I love this one, that's just a coincidence. And so people tend to shut down.
Yeah, and you know what, I'm going to interrupt you for a sec. It even goes further than that. If you're a parent, it's so important to watch your language when you say, and I grew up, you know, again, I'm 48, so I didn't grow up the way the kids are now, but I grew up with phrases being thrown at me like, don't feel that way, don't think that way, don't be that way. And when you have that thrown at you enough, what it does is it cuts you off from your sense of self and your own sense of truth. And if you really want to encourage your child to grow up to be exactly who they are, which is our, you know, our job as parents and adults, is to mentor the children to be who they are, because who they are is who they were created to be as a gift to our human existence.
True. I couldn't agree with you more. That's true. And if they feel safe, again, to be who they are and know that they're cherished and they're loved and they're treasured in all of their variations and differences, then they're taught to love and accept themselves more, and that liberates them. And it's our responsibility as parents to love and accept our children no matter what, unconditionally. And we should love ourselves that way as well, and love and accept every aspect of ourselves, because we're all multifaceted beings.
Amy, do you have any suggestions as a parent for, I mean, because you've gone through this with your daughter, can you tell us some examples or give some information for parents that, about things that you've done to work with your daughter?
Absolutely. First and foremost, if your kids tell you something, listen to them. For example, I remember, and this was quite some time ago, my daughter's now 13, that when she was about 2 years old, we pulled into the garage, and she was in her car seat, just a baby, and she pointed to the door that goes into the house, and she goes, "Mommy, who are they?" And I could see that she was clearly looking at somebody. And
right.
I went, "What do you mean, baby?" She goes, "Who are they, Mommy?" And she just kept pointing at the door. And I went, "Do you see people, honey?" And she goes, "Yes, Mommy, right there." And I went, "More than one person?" She's all, "Yes." So I just kept asking her questions. And, of course, every hair on my body stood on end because I couldn't see them. But anyway.
And how old was your daughter at the time,
her.
Amy?
She was about 2. I know she was a toddler. She was a toddler. And so I'm all, "Well, baby, all right, Mommy doesn't see them, but I believe you. If you see somebody there, I believe you." And I'm all, I didn't know what to tell her at the time. I didn't want to tell her it's your imagination or anything like that, because I knew that she was seeing something. I could tell. And I'm all,
sure.
"Well, honey, just tell them that, you know, if they're not nice, they have to go away. They can't stay here." And so she's all, "Okay, Mommy." And then we just left it at that. I never brought it up to her again. I just allowed her to be. And she just began to share more and more experiences with me as she continued to grow. And I just, you know, the reason why I did that is because I did not want her to shut down her gifts and her abilities. And I didn't want her to think that she was weird just because she has a certain gift. And
sure.
So as she grew, you know, we did have that talk, you know, like there are certain things that should just keep between us because other people may not understand, you know.
Yeah.
So I understand that fear because, and so did she, believe me. I mean, I can't tell you how many times that she came home from school telling me that, you know, people think I'm weird, and even today. But we talk about it. We understand that not everyone has the same gift of clear seeing, which is clairvoyance, or all the other facets of psychic abilities, and there are many. And so
yep.
She has a safe environment in which she can disclose what she's going through. And she knows that I'm not going to judge her. That's the most important thing. Again, even if I don't understand what she's going through or I can't see it or experience or hear it, doesn't
mm-hmm.
mean that it isn't real. And that's the one thing, too, is just because, you know, psychic ability isn't accepted by the scientific community,
mm-hmm.
you know, doesn't mean that it isn't real. And that's even part of the whole definition of supernatural. And that's something that's attributed to a force that is beyond scientific understanding or the laws of nature. Yet it
yep.
doesn't mean that it's weird, it's miraculous. It's just simply not understood by our current capabilities.
Amy, let me ask you something. If as a parent, one of the things we talked about last night that I think is real important to address here, we have a couple of minutes left, is skepticism and healthy skepticism and, you know, kind of figuring out the fine line between being vulnerable and being manipulated by your kid and really, you know, stepping back and being detached and, you know, really trusting them. Can you talk about that for a little minute here?
Absolutely. I absolutely believe that one should be discerning, you know. Again, listen to your kids. It's okay to, you know, be a little skeptical because, you know, let's face it, sometimes children can be a little imaginative and creative
mm-hmm.
in that way. But just approach this from a point of being grounded spiritually. Listen to what they have to say. Do some investigating. We have a world, a universe of knowledge at our fingertips today with the internet. Research what your kids are telling you. Find out as much as you can about their experiences. See if there's a definition to it. See if there are other cases that are similar to what your child is experiencing or what you may be experiencing. Check it out for yourself. Be discerning. It doesn't, you know, mean to be gullible and just accept and believe every single thing that your child tells you, because that can be enabling. What we want to do is empower. We want to empower our children and liberate them. And if it takes sitting down at the computer together or reading books or whatever it is, I mean, you can even tell your children, honey, I really don't understand what you're going through, but I want to support you. I may not have the answers to what you're experiencing, but I'll do my best to find out with you. Let's see if we can discover this together. And if I can't help you, let's see if we can find someone else who can. I think the most important thing, again, is just, you know, being there for them, listening to them, and instead of ridiculing them or discounting what they're experiencing, above all, just let them know that you're there to support them.
Yeah, and I like that when you were talking about, I want to be clear about something too, when you were using the word help, you were not talking about help as in there's something wrong with you, let's get you help. You were talking
That's
about
right.
help in terms of assistance in figuring out what's going on.
That's right.
And if it's okay, and I think that's really, really important for a parent of any child who may have, may be expressing neurodiversity. In whatever way that is, you know, one of the things that I see people say a lot that my friends really adhere to is step back from being afraid and think about being curious.
I love that. I love that. Letting go of fear. And, you know, here's one thing, too, that I would like to say. It's a quote, and I think it's very appropriate for everyone who is neurally diverse. And it was by a man named Harvey Bloom, and it comes from a New York Times article written in 1998. And he says that neurodiversity may be every bit as crucial for the human race as biodiversity is for life in general. Who can say what form of wiring will prove best at any given moment? Cybernetics and computer culture, for example, may favor a somewhat autistic mind. And that's just one example of the way that our entire, the mass consciousness is shifting. We are evolving as a human race. And again, we're no longer in, you know, the Industrial Revolution. We've long since moved into what is more of a computerized technological existence. And I think that we're just moving into quantum thinking. And
yep.
our brains are being wired in such a way where we're not really, I mean, it's not to say that we're losing our physical abilities, but we're working more from the mind. And so
yep.
it doesn't surprise me that people are developing more psychic abilities or, you know, such as telepathy or just being sensitive. And that's one thing that is included in people who are called indigo children or the indigo population. It's a population
yep.
that obviously has a lot of these supernatural abilities, but it could also be people who are simply more creative, more empathetic.
Yep. Yep, and Amy, I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm so grateful that we got to talk today, and I really look forward to having you on the show again so that we can maybe go into the issue of the indigo children and other issues. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Light and love to you, super people. Have a great rest of the weekend, and know that you are loved beyond anything you can imagine. You can find me online at goldensephora.com. Have a great weekend. Light and love to you. Bye-bye.